Hey, hey, now welcome, welcome, welcome. You are listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I am your host, Lynn Richardson. It's WVON 1690 AM, the talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, our favorite radio station. And we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time. And that means you.
Okay, let me say this. I am so excited. Sometimes you get to have Christmas in different seasons, and this is certainly one of those times for me and for us, because this is truly a gift. We get the opportunity to speak to a wonderful woman. She serves as a market director for JP Morgan Wealth Management, and she has over 20 years of experience in the financial services industry. And with everything that's going on right now, with inflation reduction, with gas prices, with retirement plans going awry, we are just so blessed to be able to have this woman join us again. Ms. Shakira Mason is with us to talk to us about what we're going to do to plan for retirement. Shakira, welcome to the roundtable.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure. I always love to chat with you.
Of course, of course. We had such a great time during your another segment, and folks can go on to our website at WVON.com and take a listen at that podcast and get all those great tips. So we're so excited to have you back. And I know that we have so many things to talk about. So I just want to jump right into this one. You know, one of the things that my grandmother taught me was to go to school, get a good education, get a good job, go to church on Sunday, wear clean underwear in case you get hit by a bus, you know, all of those. And the whole idea in getting a job was so you could work there for 30 or 40 years and plan for and retire. And unfortunately, that's not necessarily how things are going for the last two or three generations, because we're living in a service society. People are entrepreneurs. They're not working on jobs for 30 or 40 years. And even in the event that they are, some companies don't offer retirement anymore, or pensions anymore. So what can you share with us? Because this is so important. And I think for all of us who failed to start this, 20 years ago, we're now kind of reaping the after effects of that. What should we do to start investing for retirement?
Number one, I'm going to go back to my famous word, make the choice. So you can get started with setting up retirement. For instance, if your job offers an employer-sponsored retirement plan, then you might want to consider investing through your employer's plan. Don't look at that as something you just look over. That's when you dig in and dig deep, because there's usually a maximum amount that you can contribute. There's a maximum amount that the company usually contributes. Don't stop at the maximum amount the company contributes. Stop at your max, because that's usually higher. If you are a small business as an entrepreneur, you might want to consider setting up a plan for your business. And the last thing I would say, number three, like we talked about, Lynn, this new generation, the last two generations, they're not necessarily on their job for 30 years. So if you're considering leaving one employer to go to the next, you may want to consider that employer's plan and consider rolling over your previous plan for retirement from your previous employer, because compounding interest is your friend. So the more you have to compound on, the better, right? So make sure that that's top of mind. Just as important as your health insurance, that 401k benefit should be a top priority.
I understand that. And so that tells us the, you know, how in so many terms, or in such a way, when should people get started? Because I think the fear becomes, if I waited too late, why should I start now? When should people, and then for those who are young, they don't think that it's a priority today. So when should people get started?
The sooner the better. So when I think of multi-generational wealth, when I think of myself, because I had the knowledge, I started thinking about my son's retirement when he was born.
Wow.
Right? And so that could be step one for multi-generational wealth, starting investing for your children. And then as they grow, they think as investors, not just consumers. So step two, if you start the job and you're 21, it's time that day. because it's time value of money, time in market. You can never time the market, but it's time in market, right? Now, number three, for people who feel that they should have did it 20 years ago, we all have our shoulda, coulda, woulda moments. We all do. We all could have did something different had we foreseen the future. It's not too late. It is not too late. If today is your start date, today is your day. That doesn't make you good, bad, or worse. It's just make the decision and do it today. If you didn't do it 20 years ago, don't think it's too late. It's over for me. Start now.
You know, you just said something so key, so many treats and gems here. You talked about multi-generational planning. And so the time to start for those who have children, for those who are, you know, thinking about having children, to start that retirement plan when they're born. I think that is an absolute game changer. I have 6 nieces and nephews, and I don't buy Christmas presents. I don't buy birthday presents. They all have custodial accounts and IRAs. So if they don't get it from anybody else, they will get it from me. And that's just the role. I'm the auntie that may not look so great, or you may not feel so good about it, but during your younger years. But when you get older, you're going to have a huge bank account. And so I think that those are some important things for us to start to think about when we really start to have that conversation with our families. What is it that you want? And you talk about the future. What is it that you actually see for the future? And I think if we did a little bit more of what you're suggesting and just thought about that for just a moment, we could get to the next level with this retirement. But these are such great tips. Tell me this, Shakira, because I think one of the other things, so we know that we can just get started. We know that the best time to start is now. But what are some of the best practices for investing for retirement? Because I think people think you have to have a lot of money, or you have to, you know, have been born, you know, in some kind of a family, or have some kind of a socioeconomic status. What are the best practices?
I'm going to start with, you don't have to be born a millionaire to become a millionaire. That's number one. So let's kill that stigma right away. Number two is no different than our previous conversation. So you make the choice and you choose every single day that I'm going to pay me. I'm going to put money away from me, as opposed to some of the things that we like to buy as consumers, because we don't buy all the time what we need. Right. That's a given. We buy a lot of what we want.
Yes.
So you got to define your wants and your needs, and it becomes what turns into a lifestyle. Not a habit for a minute, not I'm going to do this, and everybody killed me with the first of the year, I'm going to start out. Now, if you got to wait to the first of the year, you're not going to do it. Do it right now.
Do it
and
now.
I would say the key to it all is when you can write that vision down, and I'm not just saying what you want in the future in terms of vision, but go back to the days of a budget book. Remember when you had to write down your bills?
Everything.
What your expenses are, if you went to the grocery store, if you went out to dinner, because when you start to write it down, your conscience will get more keen on where you're spending money, and you'll be a better steward over that money because you're seeing where it's going. Sometimes we get super easy and super happy with convenience. We pull out the debit card, we pull out the credit card, boom, 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 in and out, quick. But let's slow down a little bit, take it back a little old school. Let's start writing it down. Have your money for your expenses budgeted out, your money for whatever you feel needs to be your, I like to call it play money. But before all that, have your money that needs to go up for you written down.
Yeah.
And that's a bill. Make yourself a bill.
Yeah. Pay yourself first. Yeah. Pay yourself first. Just like you pay everybody else. Make yourself that priority.
The harvest is here and the time is now. It's your season to win. Don't turn that dial. We have to take a break. We'll be right back. WVON.
More of the Millionaires Roundtable coming up on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Welcome. Welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I'm your host, Lynn Richardson, and we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time. And that means you. Yes, we have Shakira Mason Holloway, Market Director with J.P. Morgan Wealth Management here on the Roundtable. We're going to jump right back into it.
You know, you said something about writing and how writing basically, there's a saying, I'll put it this way, thoughts disentangle themselves when they pass through your fingertips.
And yes, I think,
yes. And so to think about the money that you have available in all of the places that it has to go, it's impossible to have a plan in your head for your dollars. It's impossible to have a comprehensive plan that is only in your head. So your idea or your suggestion to write it down is absolutely, absolutely fantastic.
You and know, one thing I will add, which is not just the writing it down. Don't write it down and put it in that pocketbook you don't carry all the time so people don't see it. Make yourself accountable. If you're married, your husband is show and tell here. We're going to bring it to the table. You have children, bring them to the table so that they can understand the value of the money. They can understand how to make the choices early and not have to go back and redo mistakes that they made because they can avoid them. But make it an open, living, breathing document at your dinner table.
I love it. And you know what? I'm going to go another step because I think all of the bills should be on the calendar, on the refrigerator.
Absolutely. I still have my magnets. Don't get me started. Absolutely. There's no secrets here. When they're due, how much they are. Because you know what? I tell my son all the time, every time he flips on a light switch, he knows how the lights come on. It's called Commonwealth Edison. That's how they come on.
That's right. That is right. No, I love that idea, the transparency of it. And then, you know, there's one thing that I often say as well, especially for those who are trying to, you feel like your money is out of control. So you're trying to get more control so you can be in a position to breathe. You know, money issues are keeping people up at night. Money issues are the reason for divorce. You've talked a lot about, you know, the alliances between marrying a person and the marriage that you make in your finances. And the whole idea is to be able to tame that beast. The beast does not have to be out of control. It's definitely something that can be tamed. And so having all of your bills plain for everybody to see, your retirement planning, your vacation planning, and any other planning, like you said, the extra money that you want to spend for the things that you want is definitely you're moving in the right direction when you can see all of that. You know, Shakira, what would you say? Because I think that there are priorities that people have to basically, you know, we've got elderly folks who have to make a decision between, are they going to buy their medicine or are they going to pay their bills? You've got single parents who have to make a decision. Am I going to go to work and pay for daycare or stay home? What would you suggest in terms of retirement planning for those who really have nothing extra? They're facing those kinds of decisions every single day or every single time they get paid where they already don't have enough to do what it is that they have to do. And so when it comes down to this next thing on the priority, retirement, it's like, where am I going to get the money from? How do you approach that?
Man, you know, I don't think that there's any 100% right answer. And I'm not the one to judge, but here's what I will say. That to me becomes a firm, extra firm differentiator of wants and needs.
Yes.
And you have to categorize your future as a need. Not that I want to have a retirement. I want to have money later. It can't be a want. It has to go on a need bucket. So like you need to pay your rent or you need to pay your mortgage. That needs to be right there neck and neck. Because you've got to think about, okay, later on, what's next? And I'm not saying that you have to give up everything you have to put it for future. No, But that may mean you may not be able to do a few things that you may like to do. You may not get some things you may want to have. You may have to get some coupons and cut them and use them to buy some things that you need. So whatever you have after that, right? What your needs at, remember, your needs for retirement and your future is right up there.
Wow.
Because we gotta change the dialogue. We gotta get away from wanting to save for the future, wanting to retire well, wanting to have the proper health coverage, insurance, and all these things. We got to take that away. We got to put that in need. I need to retire well.
Yes.
I need to have assets when I retire.
That's a game changer. To place retirement, something that's so far away, in the need category. I need everybody to really, really listen to this. You know, I've got a post on social media, and it's funny, but it's not so funny, but it is funny. And it's a young man who's basically explaining how, you know, his parents keep asking him, how can you afford this? How can you afford that? And he essentially says, I absolutely cannot afford any of it. And I don't care. I'm cool with living $10 in and $20 out. Nothing has come crashing down, and I'm okay-ish. And, you know, the way he says it, it's funny. But the truth is, Shakira, it's not funny, because these are the choices that people are making every day. They are making the choice to allow their wants to take priority over their needs. And someday it will come crashing down, because money is the most consistent thing. 1 + 1 = 2. And if you keep trying to get 10 out of it, it's going to be a problem. But I love what you're saying about prioritizing retirement as a need. Make it a top priority, right up there with the rent, right up there with the mortgage, right up there with food, clothing, and shelter. Wow. Bravo. Bravo to you.
Shakira Mason Holloway here with JP Morgan Wealth Management. The harvest is here and the time is now. It's your season to win. Don't turn that dial. We have to take a break. We'll be right back. WVON.
More of the Millionaires Roundtable coming up on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I'm your host, Lynn Richardson, and we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time. And that means you. Yes, we have Shakira Mason Holloway, Market Director with JP Morgan Wealth Management, here on the Roundtable. We're going to jump right back into it.
Let me ask you this, Shakira, because I think a lot of people are into the do-it-yourself. We have YouTube now, and you can learn how to do anything. You can cook, you can clean, you can build a building, I think, off of YouTube. But what would you say are the advantages of starting a retirement plan with the help of a financial advisor?
The biggest advantage for me is you cannot be a jack of all trades and a master at none.
Yeah.
The advisor has been trained to be a master, right? There are skill set and expertise and things that you may or may not know. And you're right. There's YouTube. It's everybody's choice. But to me, I look at it like finances are a public health issue. And seeing as how it's a health issue, I would not try to self-diagnose me if I have asthma, if I'm not breathing well. I'm going to the doctor.
Right.
Right? Because the doctor knows what to listen for with that stethoscope. The doctor knows what prescription I need to take. The doctor can tell me what I need to do to get myself together and feel better, right? That's where I'm going. I have long hair. If my hair is all over the place, I'm not going to try to fix it myself.
Yeah.
I'm going to the hairdresser.
Come on, now.
If your car breaks down, you could do a lot of do-it-yourself online. Yes, you can. But usually, you go to a mechanic.
Yes.
Why should that be anything different about your finances? Because it's a necessity. So if you need to get a plan and you need to have a forecast and proper procedures, go to the expert in that arena. Simple. I'm not taking away from anything online. There's a time and place for everything. But personally, I like to go to the expert.
Come on now.
Because that is too important for me and my mind and my family. I can't play with that.
Wow. It ranks right up there with getting your hair done or getting a diagnosis or trying to get a prescription, everybody.
It ranks up there with the annual, right? You got to go get checked. You don't have to be anything wrong, but you got to have an annual. Make sure you're good, right?
Yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah. And, you know, I want us to get away from saying what they said. Every time somebody says, well, you know, somebody, who is the somebody? Who is the they? Let's go on and identify someone like Shakira Mason to go on and help you get that diagnosis and the proper prescription for your financial situation, for your retirement planning situation. This is so good. Shakira, what closing thoughts do you have for us? Because I think, you know, this retirement thing, it starts to feel better to hear someone like you break it down the way you're breaking it down. You make it relatable and attainable. And I know you've got some additional jewels over there. What additional thoughts do you have for us?
The one thing I would say, one, thank you for having me on your show. But this is the real deal. I don't believe in big eyes or little U's. We've all walked our walk. This is not just me as an expert saying something. This is the reality. We are having a public health crisis because you can be healthy all you want and be broke. Your quality of life is awful. I don't care who you are. So we've got to stand as a unit, get comfortable with being uncomfortable and asking questions. Get comfortable with saying, you know what, I got it wrong, but I'm ready to get it right. That's all right. That's perfectly fine. Get comfortable with saying, okay, maybe you got $50,000, $60,000 of credit card debt. You need to get paid down or something before you can do plan B. The next step, get comfortable in transparency and exposure because that is your vessel to greatness.
Woo! Come on now. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. This is so good. I say it every time. I'd love to continue to have this discussion with you. And I plan for that to happen at some time in the future. Can you tell us how we can get in touch with you and or anybody at the JP Morgan Wealth Management team?
So if you simply just go to your phone, your iPad, your computer, www.jpmorgan.com. We're all over the globe, right? It's everywhere. And let me tell you, that's step one. Make the connection. You don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to feel any sort of way. We all people. We all bleed blood inside. So just step out, reach out, www.jpmorgan.com. And let the servers serve you.
Woo! I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Shakira. Thank you, Chase. Thank you for all that you're doing to help us get more empowered in every way possible when it comes to our finances and building wealth in Black and Brown communities. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you.
I'm financial expert Lynn Richardson. You may have seen me on Good Morning America giving financial advice. When you get my freedom package, you get the 21 days to financial freedom and how to start a home-based business. See you in class.
You know, if our money illness is a public health issue, then we need to deal with it just like we dealt with the pandemic, just like we have dealt with monkeypox, just like we have dealt with chickenpox or shingles or anything else that's out there that has the potential to put us in a weak physical position and, you know, quite frankly, wipe us out. So what do we do if we want to address this money disease or the money illness that is plaguing our communities? And if we want to address it as a public health issue? Well, I'm going to go through a few things that I think are important. Number one, I think we must eradicate every single thing that stands in the way of getting to the next level financially. Eradicate not believing in yourself. Eradicate thinking that whatever condition you are in right now is the condition that you have to stay in. Eradicate people who want to bring you down. Now, don't get rid of them like, you know, get rid of bodies, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. But do not allow people to drain you or otherwise distract you from your goal. Here's the deal. When you are ill and you start coughing or you get a runny nose or you get that headache or whatever ailment comes upon you, at first it might just be a little nag. And then if you ignore it, it gets worse and worse and worse until finally you know that you've got to address it. Well, guess what? Some of us are facing a money issue that started out as a little nag. Maybe you couldn't pay one of your bills at the end of the month or in the middle of the month or whatever time of the month it was. Or maybe you ran a little short, but now you're finding that there's a snowball effect taking place, that a situation that started out to be small is now getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, guess what? It is time to eradicate ignoring it, right? It is time for us to eradicate. And I want to take a look at the definition of eradicate. When I look this word up, it's to get rid of, to destroy completely. And the example that's used is we have to eradicate this disease completely. That's the example that was used when I looked up the definition of the word eradicate. So we want to eradicate the disease of the wealth gap completely. We want to eradicate the disease of inequality completely. We want to eradicate the ailments that are contributing to a low net worth and ultimately to us not being in the financial position that we know we can be in. So once we eradicate, what else do we have to do? Now that you've gotten rid of whatever it is, if you go to the doctor and something is going on and you get rid of whatever is causing you a problem, well, then you've got to educate yourself about what to do better next time, what to do to prevent this from coming again. So we must stay in the education lane. We must stay in school. We must continue to listen. We must continue to learn, but we must also continue to take action. So educate is not just getting the knowledge, but educate is also applying the knowledge. Why? Because knowledge is not power until it is put into action. So if you go to the doctor and you have some kind of illness, and then you get educated about the medicine that you need to take or the activity that you need to be involved in to prevent it, it's not going to work until you actually do it. You've got to take the medicine. You've got to exercise your body. You've got to move around. You've got to do the rehabilitation. So we want to get educated, but we want the word educate to be an actionable. We want that to be an actionable term in our lives. Okay. So we have work to do. We've got work to do. This is a public health issue. Financial illness is a public health matter in our communities. And guess what? We've got the ability to heal it. We've got the ability to eradicate it. And we've got the ability to educate ourselves right on up out of it. How do I know? Because the harvest is here and the time is now. And you know what I'm going to say. It is your season to win.
Don't turn that dial. We have to take a break. We'll be right back. WVON.
More of the Millionaires Roundtable coming up on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I'm your host, Lynn Richardson, and we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time, and that means you.
Yes, this financial illness is a public health issue. Wealth inequality is a public health issue. Poverty is a public health issue. And guess what? We've got the tools to eradicate and to educate. Well, once we do those two things, what's next? Well, I say we have to elevate. We have to go just one step further than we were before. Let me tell you something. Everybody's talking about interest rates are high and it's bad for the housing market and it's bad for, the economy, and nobody's going to buy a home and everything else that can go along with that. Let me tell you something. Don't believe the hype. Let me tell you who's still going to be in the home buying market. People who understand that foundation is that the foundation for building wealth is homeownership. Let me say that again. Let me tell you who's going to keep buying homes. It is people who understand that the foundation for building wealth is homeownership. Homeownership is the cornerstone of most people's financial empire. Homeownership is the beginning. It is the first step, and it is a step that can lead to long-term financial healing, not just for individuals, but for our communities. Let me tell you who else is going to continue to buy homes. And I know this because when I came into the business, the financial services industry, interest rates were 9, 10, and 11%. I remember when I bought my first home, I got a rate, I think, of 7.5%, and I was so happy. Oh my goodness. I was so happy to get 7.5%. And so we have gotten accustomed to, in just a very short amount of time, interest rates being 2% and 3%. And yes, that's great. But here's the deal. This group of people are still going to be in the home buying market. This group will still buy homes. And this is the group of people who believe that homeownership is a dream that they want to achieve. Let me tell you something. When I made the decision to buy my first home, my husband and I, it wouldn't have mattered what the interest rate was. I wasn't looking at rates. I was looking at my house. I wasn't looking at rates. I was looking at my backyard for my baby girl. I wasn't looking at interest rates. I was looking at the dream. Now, of course, I want to get in and get an interest rate that's competitive. What I'm saying is this: the interest rate of the era would not have stopped me from buying a home, and don't let it stop you. We've got to elevate. So if you could only afford $200,000 as opposed to $300,000, well, then go find that $200,000 home. If you can only afford $400,000 as opposed to $600,000, then go find that $400,000 home. Understand this. Homeownership is not going anywhere. And I don't want you to get caught up in the myth that nobody's going to buy a house, and then you look up and you'll be renting and your rent will have gone sky high. By the way, the interest rate on your rent, the interest rate on a missed opportunity is a number that we can't even begin to count. All right. So we want to elevate. You want to keep moving towards those things that you know are going to provide you with long-term financial healing. You want to move towards saving for your emergency fund. Let me tell you what happens when inflation gets out of control and your grocery bill is too high. Cut coupons, use your cashback card, pay it off as soon as you use it. All right. But find ways to continue to move forward. You don't want to move backward, because the economy, inflation, the world is going to be what it is, but you have the ability to elevate and you have the ability to move forward. The last thing I want to say regarding this, we talked about, we want to eradicate, we want to educate and take action, we want to elevate, and now we want to illuminate. We want to illuminate the good that is happening. We want to illuminate the people who are saving for retirement. We want to illuminate those who have increased their credit scores. What have you done lately?
Janet Jackson said, what have you done for me lately? I'm going to say, what have you done for you lately? Illuminate that. Elevate that. Talk about that. Speak what you seek until you see what it is that you say. If you say you want to be a homeowner, keep speaking it. If you say you want to be out of debt, keep speaking it. If you say you want to end your spending addiction, keep speaking it. If you say you want to end the curse of generational poverty in your family, your community, your household, your bloodline, then keep speaking it. Speak what you seek until you see what you say. The power is in your hands. You have the ability. You have the foresight. You have the wherewithal. And guess what? You do have the strength. I know it gets tired. I know it makes you tired. I know it gets rough sometimes. I know it's not easy all the time. I know this battle, sometimes you just want to give up. But let me tell you something. If you give up, then what you don't want will take over, and then you will have to fight that. So giving up is not an option. Folding in is not an option. We're going to eradicate this public health issue as it relates to financial illness, the wealth gap, and every single thing else that is deteriorating and tearing down our communities. We're going to educate ourselves and we're going to take action. We're going to elevate. We're just going to keep making one step forward at a time until we reach our goal, and then we're going to illuminate. We're going to shine a light on all the good that is coming our way. Why? Because the harvest is here. Yes, the time is now. Yes, and it is your season to win.
Give yourself the gift of wealth with no limits. Lynn Richardson and New Wealth University is giving 50% off on the Platinum Wealth Ambassador Program. The Platinum Wealth Ambassador Program will give you 2 full years of unlimited access to all of Lynn's online classes, books, boot camps, master classes, and webinars. So, give yourself the gift of wealth with no limits with 50% off on the Platinum Wealth Ambassador Program, available on LynnRichardson.com.
You have been listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I am your host, Lynn Richardson. It's WVON, 1690 AM, the talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, our favorite radio station. I want you to follow me on social media at Lynn Richardson. Follow this show at Lynn Millionaire. Go and get help at asklynn.org because I want to help you take it to the next level. Guess what? I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye. Stop.